This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
My name is Tanine Bradford, and on behalf of the Cops Office, I'd like to introduce you to Sheriff Doug Gillespie from the Las Vegas Police Department, who is here today to discuss use of force issues. Can you tell us a little bit about the concerns your department has around the issues of use of force?
Well, you know, we probably could talk at quite length about that particular question, but, you know, specifically, officer-involved shootings and those that we refer to of mistake of fact, where the officer reason for using deadly force, whether they thought the person had a weapon or the circumstances, after the fact we find out that what the officer's perceptions were not reality. They tend to create a lot of questions in the community, rightfully so, as well as internally.
Well, can you discuss the process you were involved with called the collaborative reform process that reviewed officer-involved shootings?
You know, I was approached by then-director Barney Malekian when an ongoing story was being done in Las Vegas by the local newspaper on our officer-involved shootings. And he spoke to me about this collaborative process where they, the cops office, would contract at their own cost, provide a group to come in, take a look at the organization, and make recommendations. And it would be done in such a time frame that it would be faster than other processes that were out there. It was not be a process where you would be mandated to do certain things, and there would be participation from the group at the organization itself, meaning they would see firsthand what the organization is doing, policies, procedures, training, and tactics. It sounded very interesting to me, so we followed through on it. We actually contracted with them. They came out and did a review of the organization. They actually published their findings in the fall of 2012, and we're in the process right now of making good on our commitment to fulfill each one of those recommendations.
So from the collaborative reform process, what policies and practices involving use of force have you changed?
Our whole use of force policy has been revisited and rewritten. I'm sure aspects of the old policy were kept, but there were a lot of changes made. Some of it had to do with the collaborative process, CNA's recommendations back to us even before they published the report. But it also, because of the collaborative approach with CNA and the COPS office, opened up opportunities with us with our local ACLU chapter. And they as well also had input into that specific policy revisions. We have made considerable changes in training. We have moved from what was considered to be more of a classroom type atmosphere to what we would call to reality-based training, and it's actually hands-on training where, you know, supervisors, squads, officers go and participate, and they're run through scenarios. Our review process for the use of force, as well as the review of the tactics, has all been modified and continues to be modified as we move forward, move through on this process. So there's been a number of things that have changed internally based on this review.
What relationships have you built with the community through the collaborative reform process?
I believe it's enhanced it. We had a lot of good, what I believe, working relationships, you know, prior. However, there was always this concern about the police department investigating their own in regards to officer-involved shootings. By CNA coming in as part of the collaborative effort and participating in this process, interacting with the community, get the community's feedback, reporting back to the community once the report was done, I think showed the community that we have the ability to do this, and this process basically was proof of that to them. The best part that I see about the collaborative reform process in regards to my organization and what we've all been through is that it was a truly an independent third party that looked at the department. Historically, say if civil rights comes in, civil rights is looked upon as more in tune with advocacy groups. In my community, it would be NAACP and ACLU, per se. Some police departments have brought in police consulting firms, which, again, they're seen as beholding to the police organization. Where in this particular case, because we paid no money, we didn't contract. The community paid no money. The community didn't contract. They're much more seen as that independent third party. And I think that's really solidified some of the relationships that we've had with their recommendations that came out. It was pretty clear, I think, to anyone that this was not a let's show everybody that the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department is doing just a great job. They did say we were doing some things well, but they also said we were doing some things not so well and we needed to improve.
Sheriff Gillespie, thank you for your time and your expertise.
Oh, my pleasure.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.